Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
The other thing I want to ask you about is you said worming dogs when they don't need to be wormed, and that's happening in people too. What's the problem with worming your dog just in case? That's what people always say. I'm like, why are you doing that? Well, just in case. Do you have worms? Not that I know of, but just in case.
Because when you're worming, you're destroying your digestive tract. And even if you're using natural worming compounds, and natural worming compounds, okay, are usually really high in this little constituent called alkaloids, which are hard on the liver. And worming, because your dog has worms, is fine, but I don't believe in hardcore worming when there isn't a main parasite. A lot of people will keep their dogs on some of these worming herbs, and it's really at a detriment. Now, there's things that you can do as far as food is concerned to help deter the body from worms. A good immune system is going to deter the body from worms. You can give things like mimosa paducah seed, right? It's really good at sweeping the gut. You know, you can do that maybe once every couple months. You can give shredded carrot and shredded unsweetened coconut. You can add, you know, things like cucumber and papaya and things like that to the diet in a cyclical matter to help with keeping worms, like pumpkin seeds and things like that. Though that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about hardcore, like walnut hull, wormwood, clove bud. Dogs should not have clove unless it's like a serious like hookworm problem or something like that. But and only under the supervision of a vet or an herbalist that knows what's going on there. But not saying I've never used clove. I have used clove. It's a very effective wormer, but it has to be used correctly. But it's just, there's no use giving a dog a wormer if they don't have worms. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, not a lot of times, 99% of the time puppies from breeders are wormed before you get them.
Right.
And they're not testing the pups for worms. You know, there's a big belief that females, moms pass worms onto their puppies. And that is true sometimes. If you have a wormy female dog, I would worm the female before she gets pregnant, before you try to breed her instead. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Test her, see if she has worms. And, you know, you shouldn't be breeding a dog with worms.
Right.
I mean, you know, like we shouldn't be breeding a dog with worms. So, you know, it's kind of like for me looking at like, oh, we found a way to recycle plastic bottles. Well, you want to know something? We shouldn't have plastic bottles because we have to find something to do with them and to use them. And you can't get rid of them in your environment. It's just, we have to start using our brains. And so, I'm not a huge fan of that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gets me a little excited.
I love it. I love it when you get excited.
I get excited.
The passion, Abe, and after all these years. Now, let's talk a little bit about cancer, Rita. As you said, 1 in 2 dogs are going to be diagnosed with cancer. So before I ask you about treating cancer with some herbs and things like that, let's talk about just preventing it altogether.
Well, so again, look at the similarities between humans and dogs, correct? So what else? Antibiotics is just huge. Okay. Number two, what else is similar? Well, since the 1950s, through, I mean, now, what has gotten more and more prevalent in our lives? Stress. Mm-hmm. Okay. And stress causes inflammation. I know for a fact that my ovarian cancer was due to stress. I know that in my heart, in my gut. I know it was the difference between benign ovarian tumors running my family. I drew the cancer card and I was so stressed out the year before I got cancer. I had a lot of like those moments where, you know, your life kind of goes boom, right? I lost my heart dog. I'm not going to get into it, but the whole thing, I had a lot of those moments and those really highly stressful moments, but I wasn't taking care of myself. I was working 16 hours a day because I love my job and I don't feel like it's a job, but our bodies need rest. And so like people are working so much. The cost of living hasn't went up. I mean, the cost of living goes up, but the wages have not went up. People are having to work so hard and they're always working. And with technology, we're always on our phones. We have our Wi-Fi on at night when we sleep. These are all things that add to our stress load. And our dogs share our vibration. Our animals share our vibration. Any animal that we have in our home, they're, you know, if you come home from work completely stressed out or angry or upset, your dog takes on all that emotion. And it's not good for ourselves, but it's also not good for them. We're not taking time to breathe. You know, I'm not even talking about the pandemic. We're not taking time to be outside. Most people have an aversion to nature. We've gotten away from nature. And you know what's crazy, Dee Dee, is that if you really sit and listen, you can hear nature calling you. You know, like we need nature and nature needs us. But we're just it's not in balance. It's not in balance at all. Like I know people that are afraid to go like off a sidewalk, you know, I mean, it's true. And so, you know, stress is that huge thing. As far as cancer is concerned, it has such a huge emotional component, a spiritual and emotional component. And our dogs are extremely emotional, spiritual beings for sure. And our animals in general, I'm not just talking, you know, I'm talking about cats. I'm talking about, you know, everything that we're sharing our space with, I think has a huge emphasis on cancer development. Another thing is what we put in our mouths, what we put in our bodies, processed food is at a huge detriment. You know, your body has to process that processed food and it spends so much time like kibble fed dogs. Their body is processed. Their liver is processing that food all day and all night. They don't really get a break. If you feed two kibble meals a day, or a free feeder, they do not get a break. And our environment is completely toxic. You know, someone says, well, I feed my dog spring water. Well, that's good. But there really are hardly any sources of good water left on the planet. And that is a tragedy. So
it is. I just got, you know, Dr. Thomas Cowan with the Weston A. Price Group, right?
No. And it's not because I don't want to know any of these people. It's just, I have my own work and I have time to do.
I get it. Well, I just got his book yesterday. It's called Cancer and the New Biology of Water, Why the War on Cancer Has Failed and What That Means for More Effective Prevention and Treatment. And he talks about structured water, which I'm so curious about. And so I haven't totally gotten into it, but he talks about how important water is, you know, for our cells. And if they don't have the right water structure, they get sticky, they form together, and then we get tumors. And
water is super important. And I really feel like I was staying in a home with horrible, horrible water. I was renting a home and with horrible water. And I do think it was a component of cancer. And you know, what's crazy, Dee Dee, is, you know, structured water, the conversation of structured water. It's like the conversation of organic food. structured water used to be our water.
Yeah. Until we polluted the hell out of it.
Yeah. And organic food was our food. It's not something, you know, organic. It's so weird. I know people that won't eat organic because they think it's weird. And like, I'm like, all it is food that's not grown without pesticides and herbicides and glyphosate. Like it's not that big of a deal. It's your grandpa's food. Right. And if you just look at it, what's so crazy, Dee Dee, is if you look at that timeline, my grandmom, right, she grew up in the Great Depression. Okay. She was a mom in the Great Depression. My grandmother, like, you never even heard of cancer. You hardly even heard, people hardly even knew what it was. That's not that long ago. Right. That's 1940s. Right? 1930, late 1930s, early 40s. I think it was like, what, 1932? Okay, so the beginning of the 1930s. It's still not, it is 90 years ago. Like, that's crazy. That is such a short period of time in the evolution of humans that we have taken our planet and shoved it into the nether regions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people need to wake up. Like, it's inconvenient to think about it. It really is. If I think about it too much, it stresses me out. And you know what I do? I'd say, what can I do as a person? Like, what can I do? And different people are different. Like, some people, I like to sign petitions and then I track them. In fact, I have 4 petitions open up on my Safari browser right now that I'm going to sign when I'm done with this. I like to call my representatives. I like to, you know, I'm not someone that wants to run for office, but, you know, I like to vote. I like to get out there and plant things that help my environment locally. You know, we can focus globally, but we also need to focus locally. How can I help clean up our water locally? What can I recycle? I just joined some thing called Ridwell that helps recycle things that are hard to recycle. You know, it's like, we have to get involved with our environment. Go clean a beach, you know, learn about the oceans. I mean, you can do so many things. Feed your dog. If you're a kibble feeder, try to feed your dog a fresh meal, even if it's vegetables, once a week, you know, little steps. Some people are completely overwhelmed, you know, and some raw feeders, right? You know, you can get caught up in that too, but you know, any type of raw is 1,000 times better than a kibble.
Yep.
I mean, amen, literally, sister.
Amen.
It's 1,000 times better. So, you know, everyone gets like, well, I'm overwhelmed. Break it down into little tiny pieces. It's a jigsaw puddle. It's a puddle. It is a puddle. It's a big puddle, but it's a jigsaw puzzle, you know, and it's, we have to start taking action, because if you look at that timeline, we have literally tanked our environment, our health in 90 years. If we keep going on the trajectory that we're on right now, we're not going to have anything in 90 years.
That's so true. That's so true. Yeah. People do get overwhelmed. And I think it's partially because you got too many Facebook groups, too many raw feeder groups, and they try to make it difficult. It's just like, come on, peeps. It doesn't have to be that difficult, right? I get it. Oh. There can be some unbalanced stuff, but I think if we get the main pieces right, then you're going to be way ahead of the game. And then, Rita, you and I are battling a lot of times, or as Dr. Jasek would say, I'm undoing what the traditional pet health professionals are doing. I'm having to undo that, right? Mm-hmm. Undo the antibiotics, undo the Cytopoint, the Apoquil, undo the rabies vax, undo all of that stuff. And sometimes we can't undo it because it's devastated the body to a certain extent. So that leads me to this question. If we have a dog, Rita, that comes to you and they've been on that traditional trajectory, let's say this dog is, I'm just going to pull out a number, 7 years old. And for seven years, they've done Apoquil or Cytopoint because their dog had itchy skin, right? And they've been on crappy kibble, and they've done the, God forbid, the 1-year vaccines. Maybe they've done the 3-year. do they have a chance if they make this switch? And what would you do? I mean, other than you would say, look, get them on a fresh food diet. We got to get off the kibble. Okay, that's a given. But can we reverse all that stuff with herbalism?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
You can. I mean, can you reverse it in a 14-year-old dog? No. But can you make that 14-year-old dog feel a heck of a lot better? Yes, absolutely. But I'll tell you, the thing that you would do, you know, first off is you would support the nervous system, and you have to just start dealing with the liver. And the biggest thing, you know, sometimes I give a talk called Expectations and Healing, right? And the biggest thing that is an obstacle for people in general is patience.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So patience is one of the biggest things, because when you're rebalancing a dog, it is not going to happen overnight. For every round of antibiotics, if you just did nothing, you gave your dog antibiotics, it takes 2 years for the body to naturally recover from one single 14-day round of antibiotics. And wow, that has been scientifically proven. So one round, okay, how many rounds has your dog had? You know, and the thing is that, and how many rounds have you had? Because it takes the gut so long to recover from that onslaught of a broad spectrum antibiotic. And patience is just the main obstacle when using herbs. I mean, most herbal remedies take 3 to 8 weeks to even cause a sign of improvement. There are some, I use some remedies called phytoembryonics, which is another conversation, but I find them a little faster, but you got to have patience. And another thing is, you don't continue using herbs or herbal formulas without definitive results after those 8 to 12 weeks, like that you have to be moving forward. I get clients that, and there's no shame involved in this, because most people don't even know and understand, but I get clients that literally have been taking some Chinese herb formulas for 2 years, and all of the things that they went on that formula for are still happening. But they're afraid to go off of it in case it were to get worse. And I completely understand that. But herbs don't need to be taken that long. And you're just giving the wrong set of herbs. And most people are practicing allopathic herbalism. And that is just, it's in the framework of pharmaceutical medicine. And because we're conditioned to think that way right now in the world. But dogs are individuals. Humans are individuals. And we have this thing called energetics, and you have to figure out your dog as an individual, and it will help you pick supplements, whether it be Chinese herbs or Western herbs or, you know, homeopathy or whatever. It will help you choose herbs that are indicated for your particular individual structure. But patience is just needed in that framework, because we have such a pharmaceutical medicine paradigm going on, and we want it to happen right away. Well, it didn't, you know, I put my dog on this herb for 6 weeks and nothing happened. Well, one, it could have been the wrong herb, but two, you didn't give it enough time. It's kind of like that meme that you see of the little guy that's under the earth with his little pickaxe, and the diamond is like right one more, you know, shovel, and he turns around and goes home. And that always reminds me of that. Like, you know, you got to give it a little more time. But if you give it too much time, like a year, you know, and you're still not anywhere, you're not moving forward, then you're probably using them as a detriment. So, you know, people get frustrated, but herbalism, you know, is a different form of medicine than what we're used to. And people are expecting themselves to know what to do. And a lot of times, you know, it can get a little complicated. But definitely the biggest thing that you can do is work with the nervous system, always nervous system, always, always, always. And the liver, those are the two places that you can start. And of course the gut, but the liver is working with the gut as well. So the gut and the liver are our best friends. They're twins actually, joined at the hip. So that's what you would do. You would start working with the, get your dog off a processed diet and full of enzymes, and start working with the liver and the nervous system.
When you say nervous system, Rita, can you expand on that just slightly for me?
Sure. The central nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, you want to work with that fight or flight response. So the vagus nerve, which is another conversation, but there are, you know, my favorite, one of my favorite herbs to help like initially with the nervous system is skullcap, because skullcap, it's one of the herbs that I recommend for pre and post rabies vaccines. And I love, love, love skullcap. And it, I mean, of course it's not for every dog, but if I had to pick two herbs that you could start out with your dog and see after 8 to 12 weeks, if there's a difference in your dog, if there's not, then those herbs are probably not for your dog. Let's pick three, skullcap, burdock root, and milk thistle. Those are the three that I would start on. And because skullcap is going to help with the nervous system. Not most dogs. I call it border collie syndrome. You know, border collies are bred to be on, you know, they're always waiting. They're always looking what you're doing. What are you doing? What are you doing? What should I be doing? What should I be doing? And they're in that fight or flight a lot. Dogs that are stressed out, and a lot of them are stressed out, are on. They're always anticipating what you're doing. They're not relaxing. And so how much time are they spending per day in fight or flight, especially if they're not getting outside and they're not breathing and they're not touching the earth? We have a lot of heightened nervous system, and that means they don't have control over their vagus nerve. Like they're not accessing their vagus nerve, and that messes with their gut brain connection. And so the nervous system, when you nurture it, and you can do things like infusions and like milky oats is just a lovely nervous system, what we call restorative, and skullcap really can help. Those, you know, those are very non-toxic herbs that you can't get in a lot of trouble with your dog with. Burdock root will help with the liver. It'll help support detoxification through the liver and kidneys. And you can give it as a dried herb in the food. You can give it as a tincture. And then milk thistle. Milk thistle, if your dog's been on a lot of pharmaceuticals, is definitely good at supporting the liver. It helps repair the liver. You know, the liver can repair itself. And that is the beauty of that organ. But it needs love. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, I had my dog in for blood work and his liver was fine. No. When we are on blood work, we have a major problem. We have a major, but Houston, we have a problem. You know, the shuttle is going down. We have a major problem that we have to fix, right? We have to balance out that liver. We are talking about preclinical preventative medicine. That individual medicine, that is where the future needs to be. We have to stop waiting for our dogs to become ill according to blood work. Okay. And I love blood work. You know, if someone has blood work, I want to see it. Sure. But I am not a medical doctor. I am not a veterinarian. I don't work off of blood work. I work at balancing the body systems because they're all connected. But I will tell you that like there's three little systems in the body. One is the nervous system. The other one is the digestive system, which includes the liver. And the other one is the lymphatic system. And that is how you get toxins out of the body. You have to move that lymphatic system. Exercise is one of the best ways to move the lymphatic system. And then there's a couple of herbs, calendula and cleavers are really good at moving the lymphatic system. And you drain the liver which means you're detoxifying the liver, you're activating the lymphatic system to get those toxins out of the body, and you're supporting the gut so that the microbiome can give you a good immune system. And that goes a long way in all of that. And then you bring in that nervous system component to calm the body down and have access to the vagus nerve, which a lot, there's, you know, a lot in there that a lot of people won't understand for sure, but, you know, start small. If you are giving your dogs flea and tick medicine, okay. You know, I always use it, the Eastern United States syndrome. Okay. Sometimes you can't even go outside without like 10 ticks just immediately assaulting, right? Mm-hmm. There's such a tick overgrowth in the Eastern United States right now. It is crazy. So I get it. Sometimes, you know, you might have to give your dog something that I would never want to give my dog, right? You may have a flea infestation in your house, which is horrible. You know, if you are giving your dogs any type of flea or tick medicine, you have to support that liver. You need to be on milk thistle the entire time that's happening, pre and post and during, you know, because, and also you want to support the nervous system because those types of medicines attack the nervous system. There are so many nervous system conditions that occur after giving your dogs pesticides, you know, and I have seen firsthand that supporting the nervous system and giving milk thistle while on those meds, if someone has to give it to them, you know, people call me crying, Dee Dee, you know, I've got to do it. I completely understand. Let's make sure we do this correctly. You know, I get it. It's you know, do I want them to do it? No, but sometimes they feel they have to do it. We have to support the nervous system and we have to give milk thistle. And when you do those two things, the body is much more apt to be able to deal with that. I mean, you know, you've heard the horror stories on giving things like Bravecto and Trifexis and, you know, things like that. And those drugs, they attack the liver and they attack the nervous system just so horribly. And a lot of dogs don't have anything in their bodies to protect the liver and the nervous system at the time. And so those can go in a really long way into helping protect the body when you have to do that. And then there's things that you, again, skullcap and milk thistle, if you have to vaccinate, if you have to give that rabies vaccine. You know, I wrote an article for the, what was it? I'll tell you. I always forget the name of this. I always forget the name of the school. It's Trixie. That's what it is. It's Trixie. It is called, Herbal Academy, the Herbal Academy. It's in New England. It's in Bedford, Massachusetts. I wrote an article for them. If you like Google Herbal Academy rabies in dogs, my article will come up.
Oh, good.
There is a protocol in that article if you have to vaccinate for rabies. Yeah, it's a really great, maybe you could share the link with your listeners. I can email you the link, but
yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I think you deal with this every day, Dee Dee. There's this perfect scenarios that we want, right? We don't want any vaccines. We don't want any, warmers. We don't want any of this and that. We don't want any stress. We don't want to give heart guard. We don't want to, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And then there's people that we love that feel that they have to do it. Okay. Well, how can we protect the vulnerable one, which is the dog? How do we protect them if this is going to happen? And it happens every day. So, you know, I try not to judge people. I just try to help them with their current situation. And sometimes that involves discussing with them that you can't add to immunity. Like with vaccinations, rabies is required by law in all 50 states. I get that. I understand. It's not required by law in Canada, which I love, but it's required by law in the United States. And a lot of people, sometimes vets won't even see you if you have that, don't have that rabies vaccine at least every 3 years. So, you know, that can be a problem. But let's talk about all the other vaccines.
Join us tomorrow for the final episode with Rita Hogan, the canine herbalist, or as she would say, a canine herbalist. Join us over at rawdogfoodandco.com. Get your dog on a species-appropriate diet where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.